Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I say welcome back because I assume that all of our listeners are devout listeners like Rich over here and listen every single week. Right, Rich?
For the most part.
Rich here is one of my favorite listeners because he decided to listen to the commercials we have for UAT, the University of Advancing Technology, and he decided to go there, move down to Phoenix, and he seems to know what he's talking about video games. This week, because Ara is missing, he is joining me along with Adam.
Hello.
We've heard Adam on the show just three shows ago?
Three shows ago.
Yeah, because you weren't on the show where I said I was glad that Jerry Falwell died.
So. No, I didn't have to make any comments regarding that whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, did you listen to the show and hear me say that?
I was skipping through the show, and I caught it.
Yeah, I was kind of feeling bad. I was like, uh-oh. I know that we have varied religious beliefs, and maybe you wouldn't go along with me hating him so much, but...
Yeah, like I said, I didn't have to comment on it.
So. Look at him. He's grinning and bearing. I bring it up because someone emailed me, and he's like, you know, you shouldn't hate him just because he doesn't like video games and all that. And I was like, no, I had to email him back. I think you misunderstood. I don't know what his video game views are. He's just a giant douchebag. And so, but the reason I brought it up at all was because the CNN news, right? Most people who listen to the podcast don't realize there's news before the show and in the middle of the show. And so a bit airs about whatever's going on, like Virginia Tech or Jerry Falwell or whatever, Anna Nicole, whatever the highlight news is that week, it plays. And when I make the podcast, I don't keep all the news and the commercial junk, right? I want to leave you guys free of all that and just listen to pure Chatterbox. But I might comment on the news that just played 2 seconds ago. So anyway, I did send an email today, and it was like, just to clear it up. No. I don't care what his video games views are. He's just, you know, D-bag. And so I'm glad he's in hell now. But I don't believe in hell, so anyway. All right, Adam, we're still friends, right?
Oh, yeah, we're still friends.
All right, good. So Adam over here, do you want to talk about stuff you do, like plug anything since you're on the show?
Nah, it's not a big deal. I work for a local nonprofit. I do internet media producing, so, you know, podcasts and video are what I do all day, and now I get to come and do it at night, which is just a dream come true.
Sweet, 24 hours. Okay, so we're going to talk about video games, believe it or not, even though I've avoided it for the last 3 minutes. And Rich, actually, we were talking before the show and on the way over to the station. It's just all this information. I thought maybe we could talk about nerd culture, which is something that was brought up by one of our listeners last week and touched a few people in special places. So we could talk about that a bit. But then there's apparently this whole like whirlwind of crazy rumor and people caring way too much about absolutely nothing in the video game industry regarding, of all things, a single game, Metal Gear Solid 4.
It's exciting stuff.
We haven't had enough. The game, not only is it the fourth version, there were iterations or recreations of the first one on the GameCube, not to mention that the first Metal Gear Solid was like the third Metal Gear to begin with.
Yeah.
All right. So
yeah, what's the story? What happens with Metal Gear 4?
Sum up for me, what exactly is going on? Because I can't wrap my brain around the craziness that is people caring about this controversy.
Metal Gear Solid is a pretty popular title amongst
a damn fine
people.
Game.
Okay, so...
A very good game, I won't deny
although
that.
Although not according to Action Button.
Action Button?
That's besides the point.
That's one of his favorite websites.
Yes.
It reviews...
Please tell me about it, yeah.
Okay. I have their review right here of the first one, actually. They say...
What is the original Metal Gear Solid?
Someone got Hideo in your lackluster action game. That's their quote, their bottom line for it.
They're a website that generally does re-reviews of old games that everybody thinks are awesome, right?
Yeah, they specialize in just writing scathing reviews of games you probably love.
Okay. And defend
you
with...
not meaning Alon, you meaning everyone listening.
Yeah.
Yes. Metal Gear Solid is a good game.
All right, so what's going on with Metal Gear Solid 4 right now?
So everybody's been kind of talking about for a while now. Rumors have been spreading the last year that Metal Gear Solid 4 might be coming to the 360. And it's been kind of going back and forth, and where Konami comes out and says it's never going to happen or whatever.
And people care about this because...
People care because, I don't know, they have some sort of connection to the game, like... deep soul mate connection to Metal Gear Solid 4. That's going to be the best game ever, and it needs to be on the PlayStation 3. Otherwise, it won't be the best game ever because the 360 is going to taint it or something.
But,
I don't know.
But a lot of the PlayStation-aholics are now Xbox 360 players since nobody plays the PlayStation 3.
But the people that it matters most to are the most vocal, so you hear it out of them the most, out of like, yeah. Oh no, this is going to be the worst thing ever.
I don't know why. I think, you know, for the best possible game it needs to come out on the DS, because obviously that's one everyone has.
Who knows?
It does have the best sales.
There might be a Metal Gear Solid for the DS, but that's besides the point. Anyways,
so
the newest rumor is, well, Ron Workman on Destructoid.com posted, confirmed, Metal Gear Solid 4 coming to the 360, and then everybody was just like, you have no source, you have no proof, you're lying, what
is this? Isn't that pretty much the status quo for Destructoid, that they say stuff, nobody says that they can confirm it, and then all of a sudden everyone confirms
it? That's the whole point.
It was as if he had walked into their bedroom and punched them in the face when he wrote confirmed coming to the 360.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, he's posted stuff before, and then people are like, you're crazy, that's never going to happen, and then it happens, but...
Just all of a sudden, that's
all
wacky.
All of a sudden, you know, hey, it's coming out. Hey, that 120 gigabyte hard drive that Ron posted 3 months ago, Microsoft announced it today. Who would have thought? But so this is his new post saying that it's going to come out. And yeah, there's a lot of controversy around it. Now he's changed it to say cease and desist coming out for the 360 and changing all the names so it doesn't actually say Metal Gear Solid 4, and it doesn't actually say...
And that's just because Konami went down his throat and he's trying to be funny.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you can't do that, and he's going, oh, okay, I'll just change the names, and everybody still knows what I'm talking about.
He's just trying to make a point against Konami, which is funny, because Konami also took a stand against Joystick when Joystick posted some videos of a crappy PSP game from the GDC. They had some images before
the
floor opened up, and Konami tried to put the kibosh on that. And I think Konami's just way too sensitive about this stuff.
Yeah, they're just kind of jerks about it.
It doesn't surprise me so much. Like, back in 99, I had been offered a game testing position at Konami at Redwood City, basically San Francisco, right? But I had been told by some of the people there, it's like, you know, make sure you want to do this because it's a very Japanese company. Like, you don't go to the bathroom except at a scheduled time.
Wow.
Right? And so... Be sure of what you're getting yourself into. Not only that.
But I have to pee now.
Yeah, it was San Francisco, 1999, and they were ready to pay me $7 an hour plus, you know, bonus for what other stuff.
Ouch.
That's below the livable wage, and was at the time below the livable wage. So they were paying virtually nothing, and apparently it was not that great a company to actually work at just because of some of the restrictions. So I'm not so surprised that they have, you know, people trying to shut down all sorts of information about them because they're trying to control it. But the irony is that they're horrible at controlling it and make it worse. But do you think the reason that there is this controversy, is it really about system loyalty? Because that seems like a really dumb reason to me.
But that's, like, for the most, you know, the mass consumer, they don't care. Oh, it's coming out for the Xbox. All right, I'll buy it. Otherwise, oh, okay, I'm never just going to play it. They're just, most of the consumers don't have that loyalty, but... A small 5-10%, for whatever reason, has their...
I think you're overshooting that percentage. I have a feeling.
I don't know. I don't know what
half of a percent.
I'm just making a number up here.
Yeah,
but
you're one of those.
Whatever that small percent is, they have that brand loyalty, and they need to keep that.
Is anybody here convinced that the PS3 can do something the Xbox 360 can't?
I think it can. I mean, it is a more powerful system, but in practical use in video games. If you're going to see that large of a difference, if you're not playing on a 50-inch 1080p plasma, it's, you know, you're probably not going to notice the difference between the two systems at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a generation of games where graphics are going to matter the least that we've seen in the past. I mean, it was such a big thing with, you know, PlayStation, N64, which really has the best, you know, FMV versus whatever.
Well, it's because when you go from one system to another, like back in the day, right, the difference between Genesis and Super Nintendo, you could take the same game made by the same people, and it could look markedly better on, you know, one system over the other,
right?
Because, like, the Genesis could only display an eighth of the colors that the Super Nintendo could, and had a palette of, like, some ridiculous fraction of the color palette for the Super Nintendo. And so just by virtue of being on one system, things would look dramatically better. But in the case of the systems nowadays, like, you could take a game that just looks like crap because they didn't put a lot of development and art staff on it, or they focused on something else and just didn't care so much about the graphics, like Katamari. No one's ever said that game looks amazing. It looks great. Like, it's kitschy and stuff, and it's awesome. And I love the game. And I don't know if I'd want it to look any different. But at the same time, you look at it and go, well, that looks like a PlayStation game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the 360 version. Cool. Do you see the screens from it?
Yeah. The beautiful Katamari.
I guess we didn't even know it was coming out on the 360.
It looks the same. Like, it the edges are smoother and everything else is the same.
Yeah, well, I know they wouldn't dare touch it. Yeah. I think I did.
I don't want high-res realistic textures on Katamari.
Yeah, that would ruin it. Along with an American soundtrack, that would also ruin it.
That would totally. I'd be interested in seeing it. Like, I wouldn't mind. Throw some NURBS on there, make it look all smooth and funky, right? But it definitely would change sort of the flavor of the game. But I see what you're saying. The graphics don't matter as much these days because if you're on the cutting edge, then you could probably do the cutting edge on either.
Yeah.
I mean, Gears of War proves that you can have fantastic graphics on a 360.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we're going to move on to some other things, perhaps some more thought-provoking topics as soon as we get back. Stay tuned with us, everybody, on Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Once again, we're back. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon, and next to me is...
Adam.
And across from me is...
Richard.
Fantastic. We are doing our show, as we always do, from the KFNX studios at 1100 a.m. You can listen live if you go to chatterboxgameshow.com. You can also join in a live chat, which I finally decided to turn on so I could interact with our wonderful listeners. Unfortunately, during the show, it's difficult for me to type because you'd hear me typing. I'd lose track. I wouldn't pay attention. Anyway, we had a much more interesting discussion about Metal Gear Solid 4 before the show started, Rich. Somehow you censored yourself, and I don't quite understand why.
Oh, we got off on a tangent.
No, it was much better. So, if you're on the show again, I'm going to make sure not to talk to you about anything.
Okay.
Before we actually get to the studio. That way, your discussion will be lively and on the spot.
With flailing
arms. And you won't have time to think about how you shouldn't talk about stuff.
Okay.
But like, there was supposed to be some MP3 somewhere of like one of the producers on some Japanese site that nobody knew about.
Yeah, I couldn't find the clip, but it's somewhere.
That's good radio.
I heard the clip and then I lost it, but he was basically saying that the game, hypothetically, if it comes out on the 360, isn't going to change what the PS3 game would be. And then actually Kojima recently said that they have no definite plans of what might happen to the game in the future, if it will come out on another console or not. Where 6 months ago he was saying it's only going to be on the PS3, period, no matter what. Now he recently said that it might or might not come out on another console. So,
depending on how much money Sony gives them.
Yeah.
You mean Microsoft? Or to keep their exclusivity?
If they manage to sell more than 200,000 copies.
Well, it just doesn't make sense for
financial-wise. Yeah, they're putting $50 million into the game. They want to make as much profit as possible.
And
PS3
they're realizing that
is
Sony
not
didn't
the
sell
place
any.
To make the most profit.
So here's where my story from this weekend comes into play. I'm downstairs sitting and watching my roommate, or not my roommate, I had a friend visiting from out of town, and he was playing the Halo 3 beta or something, and sitting next to him on the couch, and my roommate comes down, and he's like, hey, would somebody talk to my brother? He's thinking about buying a PlayStation 3. Right, so John D didn't have to tell me anything else.
So he wasn't the one that stole it then?
No. His brother lives in another state. I don't even know where he lives. But it's just like, somebody talked to my brother, he's thinking about buying a PS3. Say no more, Johnny, give me that phone, right? It's like, so why are you thinking about buying a PS3? Well, my Xbox 360 broke, got the red ring. It's like, uh-oh. The red ring. We all know what that is, right? Your Xbox 360 is broken, which unfortunately happens to anyone who actually owns a PS3, an Xbox 360,
yes.
For more than like a week. It's going to break, which is why I make sure just to just play my roommates and never mine unless we have to use two at once. That way his can break and mine stays good. So it does suck that Microsoft made a system that breaks all the time, but it's not like there's no precedent. I've already decided not to have a class action lawsuit since I'm used to it because Sony did it with their PlayStation 1 and their PlayStation 2. And no one so far has had a class action lawsuit against either of these guys. You make a bad CD burner, HP gets mauled for it. I'm speaking from personal experience. Nobody really knows this. Well, probably not our listeners anyway, but like all sorts of companies make products that suck. And if enough people buy a product that sucks, eventually they'll get one lawyer to go after the company on behalf of everybody. That's what a class action lawsuit is. And that's happened for all sorts of things, including a CD burner that I bought like a crazy long time ago, because they all broke. But nobody's gone after Sony for their original PlayStation or for the PlayStation 2, or Microsoft for the original Xbox, or for the Xbox 360. I don't know why they're not doing it, but they should be doing it for the 360, and the PS3, I'm sure, will have its issues as soon as people actually start booting it up to play something. Right now, it doesn't get any use, so nobody knows it's broken, but it's clear from all the systems in Walmart that are frozen every time you go in there.
That's a feature.
That's good. Maybe is it avoiding burn-in by just having one screen the whole time? Yeah, you'll never notice that it's...
Well, it's making sure they don't play it too long. They want the next person to play it.
That's good, to play a frozen screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I get the phone, and he's like, yeah, I'm thinking about buying a PS3 because my Xbox 360 broke. I'm like, well, fantastic. Do you know any games you want to play on that PS3? Can you think of anything? No? Not really?
Devil May Cry.
Yeah,
it's coming to the 360.
I didn't think so. Like, I tell people all the time who ask me about what system they should buy, I'm like, can you name 5 games you want to buy right now on that system? No, it just looks nice. Well, then you probably shouldn't buy it, right? And eventually he decided to trade in his broken system and just get an Xbox Elite.
Well, was it out of warranty or what?
Yeah, it was out of warranty.
Okay.
Even though they extended it for a year.
They had like a year warranty.
Yeah, I thought they were fixing everybody's now.
No, they extended it to a year.
Yeah. And you get it fixed for free, and then after that, you get it fixed for like $120 or something.
Ouch. That was the same price before they extended the warranty. It's no difference.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, but he could have just got it fixed.
But yeah, so instead he got an Elite, and, you know, the store that he traded it into, I'm sure we can't guess which one that is, didn't bother checking it or anything, so we just got the full $250 credit and then paid for an Elite.
Nice.
Still, they'll probably send it back to Microsoft and still make money on the used system, but whatever. So that's him trying to get, you know, a PS3, and we're all like, that's laughably funny. There's no reason for you to do that because you wouldn't do anything with it. And I mean, we have one. John's like, I'd play with you, but there's no games to play on it.
Yeah. So Flow, man. No. Gotta play Flow.
Flow is not a video game.
I played all the way through Flow.
Flow is not a video game.
It wasn't that bad.
It can be fun, but it's not a video game.
All right, so let's talk about an interesting topic. I have no segue this week. Those of you listening closely might hear that I don't sound so well. That's because I've been sick for the last 4 days. Another reason for me to have you two wonderful characters in the studio. Another topic, Rich, that you brought up with me before we got to the show is Nintendo. And I guess it was out of something I was saying about, I don't even remember. But Nintendo makes games that don't suck.
Oh, we were talking Viva Pinata copies Pokemon.
Yes, that's what it was.
However we got on that subject.
So you didn't realize this, but I read something in Evil Avatar today. And they were talking about how George from Nintendo, I think it was George Harrison, from Nintendo was talking about how Microsoft copied them with Viva Pinata, which is basically Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Sony copied them with the 6-axis controller, which is you know, the motion control that's big and popular in the Wii. And they're going to have to get some new moves and start paying attention to something more than just the Grand Theft Autos and the Halos if they want to make money, because there's a whole big market of people. And there's a very small market of people, relatively speaking, that play Grand Theft Auto and Halo, even though there's a lot of people who do, right? Which you can see by my roommate doing nothing but playing Halo 3 with all sorts of people. So there's all sorts of people playing these games, but there's way, way more who play lots of other games. And so then you were saying, and really I'm just going to let you take this away because I don't want to talk for the whole segment here.
All right.
But yeah, Nintendo makes games that don't suck, and then everybody copies them.
Copies them, yeah. I mean, Nintendo's—they've always been the company that they're a genre starter. You know, they create Pokemon, which is you have little monsters, and everybody knows what Pokemon is. But after that, 20 other companies start making a game that copies that. And by the time they come out with a game, Nintendo's got the next Pokemon game coming out that's even better than the previous one. And so then Nintendo becomes the genre king of that particular genre that they've created. And then by the time these other companies figure out how to actually make a good game within that genre, Nintendo's already moving on to their next thing. You know, I mean, they make, you know, Mario 64 came out, and, you know, by the time other companies like, I don't know, Jak and Daxter, stuff like that comes out, Nintendo's already moving on to the next thing. They're like, oh, well, we have the Wii out now, and now we have motion controls, and you can play Mario Sunshine. It's going to be a whole new game. I haven't played it yet, but according to Miyamoto, it's supposed to be completely different. I don't know if it's true.
You mean Mario Galaxy?
Yeah, Mario Galaxy. What did I say?
Sunshine.
I'm sorry. Mario Galaxy.
Mario Sunshine was essentially.
That's like Mario Kart. Talk about a genre starter. Who knew kart racing could be a genre of video games?
Well, exactly. I mean, there's a million of them. Super Mario Brothers, the original one, well, the original Super Mario Brothers.
Party Fighter, yeah.
It was one example. Anyway, we're going to keep talking about this because this topic I like a lot.
We'll be right back.
We'll be back after the break.
Me, Mario, you're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back again, Chatterbox Video Game Radio, with Alon and Adam and Rich. These two fellas are helping me save my voice while Ara is off producing a game for you all to play. You see, it's crunch time these days over at Rainbow Studios. They got to make that Cars 2 game so that you all can play it come Christmas time. And so he's out today. He might be gone, I don't know, maybe for like a month straight, or maybe he said he's going to try and switch schedules around so he can come do the show, but I can understand the importance of also making a video game since, well, I understand the importance of playing them clearly. So before we move on, I'm going to remind everybody about UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. They're one of our wonderful sponsors, and we appreciate them. Without them, the show wouldn't exist. So head on over to uat.edu and learn about what they have to offer, which is stuff like making video games.
Indeed.
That's what you do, Rich, or you're starting to do it. You're pretty early on in the program, so you're not really working on any mods or anything yet, right?
No, not yet. I'm still in my third semester, but I wouldn't be here without Chatterbox or UAT.
That's true. And when you do start working on the mods, they'll put you on a fake NDA so you don't talk about it. And then at the end of the semester, you can talk about the mod you've been working on.
And then
I'll just
slowly leak images onto the internet. It's going
to
be fun.
Send it to Detoid.
I'm going to be one of those people.
Yeah. One of the inside
Source
jobs.
On the inside released information on this mod on UT2K4 from UAT.
You need to learn those skills early.
Oh, yeah.
Learn the leaking skills.
Just make sure nobody found out it was me.
That'd be pretty sweet.
It's going to be fun.
Just suddenly it's talked about on Chatterbox, local radio. All right, so we were talking about Nintendo being a genre leader. And during the break, we were able to come up with all these examples, right? So there's Super Mario Brothers on the original NES. And like the Mario Brothers
Mario
itself.
Mario Party.
I was going to say Mario Brothers before the Super Mario Brothers. That didn't really make too many genres. But Super Mario Brothers. That broke some boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
Do you even know what Mario Brothers is?
Yeah, it was you're in the sewers hitting the little things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
good.
Were you going to kick him out if he didn't?
I was going to say you would have been kicked right out.
Yeah, I know what that game is. Come on.
He's like, dude,
give
that was a mini game
credit,
in like, all the DS games. Of course I knew. So Super Mario Brothers, everybody tried to make cool platformers. And Mario 3, actually, I think, is what really broke ground.
Yeah.
With some amazing gameplay that other people tried to copy. But Mario 64 did the same thing. And Mario Party created this whole party gaming thing, which nobody had really done before. At least they hadn't done it well. You said kart racing.
Mm-hmm. Zelda.
Adam. Zelda. Yeah, I mean, there's all these games.
Everything is done by Nintendo first.
They've made a bunch of games.
The Rumble Pack. Well, it's not really a game, but they innovate, you know?
They created the D-pad. I mean,
D-pad? Yeah.
They do all sorts of things. Dance Dance Revolution was essentially a power pad game. Way back in the day, dance aerobics.
Dude.
Yeah.
Power Pad was awesome. The racing game, or the Olympics, where you had to, like, do the sprint.
Yeah, that's not really relating to Dance Revolution, but it was awesome.
But, I mean,
awesome.
It's on the... It doesn't matter.
It was good. I like getting on my hands and knees and hitting it with my hands.
And you can never beat Cheetah. I can never beat the Cheetah character on the Olympic racing.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm...
But I'm way off topic.
All right, so... so, basically, genre leaders, right? And then other people try to copy them. So... The examples were like Microsoft with Viva Pinata, and we can come up with all sorts of examples for more recently Grand Theft Auto, which is not a Nintendo product, right? But everybody tried to copy it. And I think until Saints Row. Have you played Saints Row?
Yeah.
I haven't. But I hear it's good.
It's good if mediocre means good.
Well, Grand Theft Auto, in all honesty,
I felt was sort of mediocre.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I got in Grand Theft Auto late. I mean, I played a little bit in high school, but... Like a year and a half ago, I decided I hadn't played them. I should learn what it's about. So I bought, all three of them for the Xbox, and so underwhelmed. So, you can't aim at any of the games except for Andreas. You can't aim at all.
Oh yeah, you can't hit anything.
Well, the thing is, like that game did one thing that other people hadn't done, but now it's become sort of standard.
Mm-hmm.
The free roaming bit.
Yeah,
the actual
yeah.
gameplay I was never terribly excited about. But it still, it did something to get a lot of people interested in that particular game. And
it
now,
started the genre.
Yeah, and I wonder what Grand Theft Auto 4 is going to do to amaze people. I hope it's more than just graphics.
Even the graphics, I don't think, look that great. They look good.
But they do compared to Grand Theft Auto games.
It's not, I don't know, I don't like the style of it, I guess, is what I'm saying. But
people are so satisfied with mediocre games, though. Like, I think it's really disappointing that certain games innovate, you know, whether it's pushing the emotional boundary. Like, I think Katamari did so much for creating a sense of just, like, you're destroying everything, but the whole thing, you just feel, like, innocent and joyful while you're doing it. You know, like, that's innovation to me. I don't know. I don't know if they have it in them to really do anything that great with number four.
Okay. Since I don't care about Grand Theft Auto, then I'm not terribly worried. Right? None of us here, I guess, are big Grand Theft Auto players.
I'm
but
not.
But it's a great example of one game that gets copied by everybody else.
Yeah. And it's a game that Nintendo didn't make.
Yeah, it's one example. But
yes.
There's a whole bunch more that they did a fantastic job with. Everybody tries to copy, and then, like you were saying, eventually they move on, or they improve upon that game and do something totally different with it. But it's just like what Mario 64 did. And what am I trying to get at with this? This sort of relates to what I've said in the past about the systems moving forward. Like Nintendo, they come out with a new system and they do something new with it, whereas other people are trying to play catch up. Like if you look at the lineage of systems, right? The Sega Master System was out along with the Nintendo, and then the Genesis was out with the Super Nintendo,
uh-huh.
right? And then Sega decided, all right, we're going to make something really awesome. We're going to jump the gun, surprise everybody, release the Sega Saturn. And the Sega Saturn, in the days of the Super Nintendo, was amazing. And it was actually built to be an amazing 2D machine. In fact, it wasn't even built to run polygons. It couldn't do triangles. It could only do squares, right? And which is, you know, non-standard for polygons. And so they built this amazing machine to do great 2D stuff, but then everybody else was like, well, okay, we're kind of done with that, though. We're going to move on to do this other thing. So mm-hmm. it's like Sega just wasn't looking forward enough, and Nintendo, although the example here is that the PlayStation really moved forward with that, but Nintendo also moved forward and created Mario 64, which even though it wasn't on a very capable system for, well, today's gaming, right, because it was only cartridge-based, it was still a capable system for what they needed to do. And software-wise, gameplay-wise, they moved forward in ways that other people just weren't paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nintendo seems to have this forward-looking mentality, and they make excellent, excellent software. And one thing we were talking about is how awesome would it be to have Microsoft making hardware and network infrastructure and all these community-based concepts, putting them together, except maybe microtransactions, and merge that with the creativity software side that Nintendo has. And I'm curious, like, what do you think does it? What does Nintendo have that other people don't have? I mean, Microsoft, I guess they make good enterprise-level software, but they've never been much big into gaming, so they just buy up companies that know how to make games.
Yeah.
But they seem to concentrate on people who make good PC-style games. But, like, what did Nintendo do?
That's not necessarily true. I mean, what would be an example of PC-style games?
Well, right, they bought Bungie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Halo. I guess it's a PC-style game, but it works well on the console.
Yeah. I don't have their list of, like, in-house developers.
Yeah.
Or the developers that they bought.
All of their in-house stuff is companies that they bought and said, make games for us.
Essentially. So. Right. But they didn't... I guess they bought Rare, right?
Yes.
And Rare can do some amazing things, but...
Not
they,
recently.
They made, what, the Ghoulies game?
Yeah, Grabbed by the Ghoulies? What is that?
Yeah, and nobody played it, so wondering...
I mean, Viva Pinata, which is just kind of a copy.
And it was a copy, right?
Yes.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Banjo-Kazooie I'm looking forward to, which is just a copy
of
Super Mario 64.
But it was good. When first one came out, it was good.
Yeah, they do a good job copying it, but Rare doesn't make new genres. I mean, nothing coming out of Microsoft is new. It's all old genres. They're doing a good job with them, but they're all old genres.
So what
Halo's a first-person shooter.
What does Nintendo have that other companies don't have?
Maybe it's the Nintendo Miyamoto. Plans to sell, you know, sell games by innovating, and other companies are content to sell games depending on what the current, you know, what the main consumer base wants to buy at the moment. You know,
but I mean, is it something in the water? I haven't spent time at the Nintendo headquarters in Tokyo or wherever it is in Japan, right? But I just can't imagine that there are people, because human beings, maybe this isn't true in Japan, but like we will move from company to company, and you hear of people doing that in Japan too,
right? Yeah.
Working for one company then working for another. Like,
yeah.
What happens that all the creativity goes to Nintendo and nobody else in another Japanese company has it? I mean, I guess there are some games. Let's, during the break, try to come up with an innovative game that wasn't made by Nintendo and is Japanese. All right.
Katamari.
All right, and we're back again for the final segment of Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Don't forget, go to chatterboxers.com or chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about our show. I may not update the site very often, but it's still there for your perusal. You can join in the chat room. You can even enter our forums. Send me an Aura email. Aura, I bet, will read it even if he's not here at the show for like a month or something. So anyway, we got Adam and Rich here. We were talking about how Nintendo... they seem to be the ones who push forward and do a lot of innovation in terms of software. And Rich said Trauma Center came out on the DS, right, first,
yes.
And then later on the Wii, essentially the same game. And although that's, I think, made by Atlus, it's not so innovative in terms of software, because once you're, like I was saying, like if you're given a tool, you're pretty much going to figure out what to do with it. And all it really does is some simple implementation of the tools that they
were
given.
It's a pretty obvious use of it.
Yeah, although it's really
it's
fun.
It's really well done.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
It's really fun, but I can't exactly say, like,
thanks,
wow,
to
that's...
Nintendo.
Yeah, that's not exactly some amazing thinking, because, like, hey, we played Operation 10 years ago, and now we're just doing a virtual game of it.
Yeah.
But Nintendo, I mean, the DS is a fantastic example of them moving forward, and not just creating a piece of software, which... comparatively is a low investment, right? And Nintendo, very historically, very cautious company in terms of financial investment. And they decide that, okay, we've been making these Game Boys and whatever for years now. Now we're going to do something totally different in terms of hardware. It's not just going to be upgraded visuals and whatever and another couple buttons, right? We're going to add all sorts of things. You got a microphone, you got a touchpad, you got a second screen, which nobody had even considered before. Unless you consider their
Game and Watch,
the Virtual Boy.
Oh, yeah, like way back
Game and Watch did have two screens on,
but that was different.
Yeah, kind of a different story. But I forgot about that. Yeah, they sort of done it.
It looks a lot like Game and Watch, actually. The first version of the DS looks very similar.
Yeah. So anyway, like they not only had to come up with these ideas, and I'm sure they came up with all sorts of ideas that they didn't use, but I mean they had to, R&D to create it, and then actually create it on a massive scale. And I still think they did it cautiously, because the example is the original DS, right? It was essentially a prototype that they decided to sell. We all knew, or at least you should have known when it came out, that it wasn't going to be the final version and that there was another version coming around the corner.
They do that to all their handhelds, though.
Yeah, but like...
constantly make it smaller every 2 years.
When the first Game Boy Advance came out, I was like, all right, Game Boy Advance. I didn't really think that
SP.
The SP and the Micro were going to come out, although you could probably guess they'll probably have a cooler version come out.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily because they have to, but because things might change after a few years. Mm-hmm. DS Lite said, I refuse to buy one, or DS, refuse to buy one because there's going to be a way better version, significantly better in a short period of time.
The Lite is fantastic.
Yeah. So, and it is. And I actually just picked mine up and used it recently, but you just bought one, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Rich's is pink, though.
A sweet pink.
I got my pink DS Lite.
I wanted a pink one, but the pink that's on the DS Lite is really a dumb pink.
Pink is awesome.
It's a Hello Kitty pink.
No, it's not. That's the problem. What is it? Clamshell pink or something stupid
like
that?
Coral pink.
Ugh. No, a nice hot pink would have been sweet. You need a nice hot hot orange, neon orange.
So what'd you get? Did you get white or black?
Well, I got it the day it came out. I got the white one.
Ah, so I have the black one. Look at us.
Yeah.
Multi-ethnic DS lights.
I am pink.
That's what we have.
So anyway, they not only decide to put forth like conceptual innovation and make a piece of software that, okay, if it bombs, okay, you made one bad game. Or you refine it, or you just market it really well and make money on it anyway. No, they made an entire piece of hardware, and they pushed an industry to say, here, we're going to make some cool tools, and we're confident enough that they are cool tools, go do a good job. Now, they had to carry themselves for the first year because nobody was doing anything cool with it, but really that's their own fault for not telling people about it in advance. Nintendo tends to do that. But after a year, they started doing cool things, which is, I think, what we're seeing on the Wii, where right now there's really not that much. Today, a game I finally want to play came out.
Mario Strikers.
Mario Party 8.
Yes.
Strikers came out last week. Well, apparently that's produced, what, a 20% hike in online play on the Wii?
Yeah, there's like 400,000 players online already for Mario
that
Strikers.
That might be because no one was playing anything online on the Wii previously.
Yeah, well, that's besides the point.
I didn't know there was an online game for the Wii yet.
Oh, yeah. There's Pokemon in Japan is released on the Wii.
Yeah, but this is the first U.S. game to actually be online multiplayer.
Yep.
Yeah, so imagine that. You see an increase in online play.
Yeah, 8,000% increase. Yeah. It's our first online game.
So anyway, I also wanted to play Super Paper Mario. That just got boring, and I got to go back and play it because I'm sure it's going to get fun after a while.
But, the GameCube one was boring. I beat it.
Yeah.
It was boring.
It's a different game on the Wii, though.
I don't want to play the Paper Mario on the Wii at all.
Anyway, I do. Not my point. They push forward, and they innovate, and they did this amazing thing. The DS has sold more than like any system in the history of video games or something.
Speed-wise, I think it's...
They're pushing amazing numbers. They still sell more than the Wii and the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 like combined every week.
Yeah, they sell
Japan
like 200,000 in Japan every week alone.
It's ridiculous. So they're doing a wonderful job selling that, and I mean, that was a piece of hardware. Nintendo always, I mean, they've always upgraded their hardware, right? But it's never been terribly innovative. It's just...
Mm-hmm. So, and Nintendo makes money on their hardware, and that's where they're smarter than all the other companies, is they're selling tons of these, and they're making money on all of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I said, they don't risk anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're going to make money on all of them.
Sony's losing $200 per PS3.
But on top of that, they know that even if nobody else made a good game on their system, they could carry it because they have such amazing software creativity. I want to figure out the source of this. So in Japan, we were trying to think of games. You said Katamari, fine example.
Parappa.
Which was an accident. Parappa the Rapper. Although it's tough because that guy pretty much always makes the same game.
Yeah, but that was the first one, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's like 15 years old.
He made Vib Ribbon, and he made some other music games, right? But he's really pushed into a category. You're not going to have this guy explode into some really interesting... And he's a cool guy. He does cool things, and Parappa was awesome. I really enjoyed it, although it was kind of a mystery of how the game actually worked. But
yeah, I played it yesterday, and I had a great time playing it. Yeah. Although my friend who I introduced it to, he hated it.
Bowl.
He hated it, but then all day today, he was reciting all the lines from it.
Yeah, but it did do a good job of introducing people to the music genre, and somehow it got people interested in it. And you were saying before the show started that you can't introduce someone to Guitar Hero and have them not love it.
Yeah, everyone loves it. Right? My older sister loves it. My wife loves it. Everyone loves it.
And I had a friend who visited last week, different than the other friend who was sitting playing Halo 3 next to me over the weekend. She was saying, you know, I showed her Guitar Hero last year, brought it home. Now she and her fiance play. Her sister and the sister's fiance have Guitar Hero. Everybody has it.
Everyone.
It's great. People I wouldn't expect to even own a PS2.
And it's basically $100 to get it on addition to the system, isn't it? It was like 90 when
80
it came
bucks.
Out?
80?
Yeah. I mean, it's the most expensive game anyone's going to buy these days.
Yeah.
Because you need the peripheral to have any fun with it.
And a lot of people have two.
Yeah. And it's awesome. And Rock Band, I don't know if it'll be as successful, but it's going to be great.
It sounds too complex.
Shut up, dude. You're going to be over playing the drums with me every day. I know you
are. Oh, I will. But I'm not going to pay for that.
Well, no. We'll get me and Ara to pay for everything.
Yeah, okay. Just get John to pay for you.
But, like, what is it? Like, people on the online chat, they're like, oh, Metal Gear Solid 1 was really innovative, and Rez was really innovative.
Had a vibrator.
No, it wasn't. Rez?
Rez had a vibrator. That's all it did.
Well, yeah, but it was just Panzer Dragoon in a different box.
Yeah.
Right? But Lumines, not innovative.
No.
Cool, but not innovative.
Tetris was awesome.
Tetris was
and
somewhat innovative.
Was like, oh, let's make a puzzle game.
Yeah, but it was a fun implementation.
It was fun, but it wasn't a genre starter.
I'm glad it was made, but yeah, genre starters, like, what is it that Nintendo has? It can't just be Miyamoto. Maybe it's Miyamoto's training. Like, are all games going to suck when he dies? I was thinking about this the last couple weeks. Like, eventually he dies.
Yeah.
It's going to happen to all of us. I'm just hoping that he and I die at the same time.
Right.
So that my whole life I get good games, because I have a feeling he must do some training session in Nintendo headquarters and teach everybody how to not make crap games.
Well, I think the general mentality is they're looking to make completely different games, where every other company right now is stuck in appealing to what the core gamer audience is now.
Well, that's the point.
Nintendo,
they're innovative. Nobody else is.
To, okay, let's see how many more million people we can get to play games with these other types. It's a completely different mentality.
I wish we knew, but we're out of time. We'll be back next week, everybody. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Adam.
Go play Katamari.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.